Good morning. You're listening to The Blitz. I'm Kyle Amler with Chris Molina, and this is part two. We already covered half of the teams. We're just going to keep going right in. So the Colts against the Miami Dolphins. Now, yeah. if you looked at the stats, you saw Andrew Luck, he had nice numbers at the end, but he really didn't throw that many against Oakland. So you would expect a little bit better numbers there, but of course, Reggie Wayne, he's still getting his. The tight end situation is still kind of a mess. The running back situation, seriously, oh my gosh. I don't even know what to say about that. Again, it's running back situations in the NFL are just becoming muddier and muddier, it seems. And on Miami side of the ball, you have a team that I was actually fairly impressed with against the Cleveland Browns because they couldn't run the ball. And In years past, if they couldn't run the ball, that's it, they're done. They leaned on Tannehill, and he threw it to a victory. They have kind of a nice set going on down there, being able to run it. Hey, if we can't run it, we'll just throw it, and they're doing it.
Well, right, and both teams, I would stay away from all the running backs in this game. Eventually, one will shine at some point for each team, but by then, it's not going to be week two. Didn't shake out in week one, so stay away from him in week two. For the Colts, Andrew Luck's a must start, as is Reggie Wayne. And in deeper leagues, or as a third wide receiver, I would say T.Y. Hilton is someone you should have in your lineup. Tight end situation, it's murky with Indianapolis. Is Kobe Fleener ever going to pan out?
I don't think he really targeted either one of those tight ends enough to be excited about him. I think they both had like two or three targets apiece.
Ugh. Well, right, yes. Right now, Darius Heyward-Bey wasn't a big option in the game. Really, for the Colts, for a team that's going to score a lot of points, Andrew Luck, Reggie Wayne, and in deeper leagues, T.Y. Hilton are the guys that you have to have in your lineup, of course. Now, for the Dolphins, yeah, I agree with what you said. Tannehill looks like he's a star in the making, a winner in the making. Now, whether that translates into fantasy points remains to be seen, but come bye week, I'd feel comfortable playing him if I had to. He was my backup. Guy you got to get in your lineup, you have to have in your lineup, is Mike Wallace. All that chirping that's going to be going on and everything else that he did after the game, how he wasn't wasn't happy with how he was being used, and it was, well, I don't like how I played. They're going to feed the guy they paid a lot of money the ball this week. They are going to ensure Mike Wallace gets the ball. So that if you have Mike Wallace, don't be down on that. And I'm not a Mike Wallace supporter, but I think usually when you hear the big money guy not happy, first thing they try and do is make him happy because they want to make sure they get a return on that investment. They don't want him shutting it down for the rest of the year. So between Mike Wallace and Brian Hartline, I think those are two viable starts for number two wide receivers. And to me, one of the best plays of the week is to get Mike Wallace in that lineup of yours.
Kansas City Chiefs, Dallas Cowboys had a little bit of a scare in both teams. Right away, Jamaal Charles gets hurt. Oh, boy. Nobody's happy to see that, obviously, on that side of the ball. And for the Cowboys, you're looking at Tony Romo, who got sandwiched in between two players, comes back into the game, wasn't quite throwing it the way he should for a little bit. And Dez Bryant also is nursing a bit of an injury.
Yeah, I saw Jamaal Charles get hurt, and I'm thinking, there goes my Super Bowl pick. But he's a must-start. I mean, Alex Smith looked good as somebody's backup. Dallas' pass defense is going to be bad this year. Their defensive backs, they play cover two now, as opposed to being on press coverage when they were doing the 3-4. They're press cover defensive backs, not cover two defensive backs, which means there's going to be a lot of open holes, as the Giants showed you last week. Look for a big game out of Donnie Avery and Dwayne Bowe, Jamaal Charles out of the backfield, Anthony Fasano. I would load your team with Chiefs because this Dallas' defense, pass defense, when you change from a 3-4 to a 4-3 or vice versa, it's always the pass defense that struggles the most. Load up Chiefs this week. The Bow has to be in your lineup, as does Donnie Avery. And again, this is a game full of fantasy players you got to have in your lineup. You're playing Tony Romo. You're playing DeMarco Murray. You're playing Jason Witten. You're playing Dez Bryant. And we talked about Miles Austin. He had a pretty good game last week.
He did. Miles Austin can make a big difference for the Cowboys.
Oh, absolutely. So I would absolutely look to do that. And again, this is a game chocked full of people who will be in starting lineups. Look for some fantasy value for some of your lower end guys like a Donnie Avery or a Miles Austin.
St. Louis Rams against the Atlanta Falcons. St. Louis, it's definitely getting the Jeff Fisher feel. And you can look at the stats of Darrell Richardson and see that even though they were having one heck of a time running against that stout Arizona defense, they kept running. He's one of the few guys they didn't abandon the run on. and he had 20 carries last week and caught passes out of the backfield. Now, he didn't get a lot of yards because Arizona's got a great run defense, but they kept giving it to him, kept giving it to him. Jared Cook, of course, exploded, and I'm just curious to see how that's going to affect Tavon Austin this week. And then on the other side with Atlanta, you're looking at Matt Ryan. I don't know, man. Roddy White was hurt, and Matt Ryan was struggling a little bit trying to find other people to throw the ball to.
Well, I'm still not sold on anyone. I'm, Darryl Richardson as a number two or a number three or flex position player, he's worthy of a start there just based on the fact that they are feeding him the ball. The more opportunities you get, the more opportunities they're going to have to get you points. I just think Atlanta may be able to shut him down. Now, that being said, there's really no one other than Jared Cook on that roster that I say is a must start. Richardson, if you have to, Jared Cook is a must start. I think he's just coming into his own now, I think, with the Rams as we thought he would. Falcons, a lot of must starts on this team based on being brand names. You got your Matt Ryan, you got your Steven Jackson, you got your Tony Gonzalez, you got White and Jones. Now, Roddy White, let me see him healthy before you get him in your line. Maybe this may be something that you may, if you have a viable option, let's maybe sit Roddy White because he was unproductive last week. He couldn't get out of his routes against the Saints, no less. Now he's probably going to get Courtland Finnegan on him. Roddy White, I would recommend not playing this week until he's 100% healthy, if you have another viable option.
I think that's a great recommendation. The guy isn't healthy, and you're right. He's going against a great defensive back core. So,
and a guy who's going to benefit from it that I'm sure he wasn't drafted in 90% of the leagues is Harry Douglas.
Yeah.
So you may get some of those catches that Roddy White was going to get may go to Harry Douglas. Unless Roddy White is not on the injury report, I may, and I have him in a dynasty, I may not play him. I'm really considering not playing him.
What about Tavon Austin? You just
not
still,
seen it yet.
Still not.
I'm not saying get him in the lineup until I see him start to be productive. I mean, I don't know where to, how to, what type of use they're going to have for him. Rookie wide receivers don't usually come out in gangbusters anyway. May take him a little while. Let's see what he does before I start recommending him to play.
New York Giants, Denver Broncos. I don't even think we need to mention anything that much about Peyton Manning, but I will. 7 touchdowns. Threw it to everybody. Julian Thomas, Wes Welker, the other Thomas. They all had 2 touchdown receptions apiece. The running back core is in flux over there, though. Still don't know exactly what's going on. But if you want to talk about a running back situation that's a total mess, you're looking over at New York and seeing that, oh my gosh, the head coach of that team, he must hate David Wilson. I just don't, I mean, I know the guy fumbles from time to time, but every time the guy fumbles one time, he severely punches him. It's like he rolls up the newspaper and swats him on the face. It's like, what is going on here? Why do you hate him so much?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of fantasy owners with some angst right about now because he was probably drafted in first, maybe second round, at worst, third round in every single redraft league because of the limited running backs, and he was pretty much stardom. And Andre Brown went down. Everyone's like, oh, David Wilson's a guy. He's a guy. Well, I didn't last very long.
No.
I mean, they're looking at people that Brennan Jacobs barely played last year and wasn't on the team this year as a possible replacement. There's
yeah,
a lot
did
of,
bring him in, actually.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of disappointed fantasy owners because if David Wilson isn't your number one running back like you drafted him to be, you could be in trouble.
Yeah.
Because there aren't a lot of running backs out there that can go in and fill that void. Now, the Giants, you know, I said I liked Reuben Randall last week as a kind of a sleeper. He gave you 100 yards.
Yeah, he did great.
I think they're all going to be productive. It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah. Victor Cruz can feel free to share some of those touchdowns, though. He doesn't need to hold on to all of them.
Well, there you go. Right, exactly. So, I mean, he had them all. Other than the running backs, I think get anyone who can catch a ball for the Giants in your lineup. That's no doubt. Same thing for Denver. I was a little bit off with Julius Thomas. Figured they would keep him in more to block. But, boy, they just unloaded on Baltimore. So, other than the running backs, if you have a guy who can catch the ball in Denver, get him in your lineup. I can go down to names, just get him in your lineup.
Yeah, I can tell you, just it's so hard to defend Denver with Peyton Manning, obviously, as being the quarterback, because you have those dynamic wide receivers out there that are pulling you out. There's only so many defensive backs, and you can't double cover everybody then. So who do you double cover? If you double cover Wes Welker, okay, you're leaving open Thomas and Julian Thomas. So, okay, fine. We'll go into dime mode, and we'll double cover 2 guys.
Right.
Who are you going to double cover? You still can't double cover all 3 of them. Peyton will find that one guy who's open, it appears. And last week, it was Julian Thomas a lot right down the middle,
yeah,
running down the field.
Every, It then just became everybody. I think if I was on the field, I would have got 7 catches for 100 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, looking at it, it's probably going to be the top fantasy productive game of the slate this week.
Jacksonville against Oakland. Terrell Pryor.
This is going to be the minor one. Yeah, this is going to be the lowest one.
I
the highest
feel
the lowest.
Bad for anybody who has to watch this game, honestly, who lives in Oakland or lives in Jacksonville and is forced to watch this one. You
know, they may not be because they always have blackouts. Those are two areas that they both get blacked out all the time, so nobody will be watching this game.
Terrell Pryor, though, was leading the league in rushing yards until finally LeSean McCoy took over, but he wasn't throwing the ball. I'm one of the bigger Terrell Pryor haters. And he actually did show he knew what he was doing. A little bit. I'm still not sold on him. Like, you're not sold on a lot of other players. I'm not sold on the fact that he knows what he's doing yet. And I'm not going to be sold after this game either because it's only Jacksonville. So he went against the Colts defense, who really isn't that great. Now he's going against Jacksonville. Again, not that great. But his legs and his ability to run definitely kept Oakland in that last game. And on Jacksonville's side, Blaine Gabbert.
He's out.
Yeah, he's gone already. So it's not even – that experiment didn't last very long.
No, well, again, he can't stay healthy. And, you know, Chad Henne, when he was playing last year, had some pretty good fantasy games. And Cecil Shorts was a lot better when he had Chad Henne throwing to him. You know, Cecil Shorts' owner should be pretty happy right about now. But I don't see much. I mean, Reese Jones-Drew, he's healthy, but is he at that – declines phase that all the running backs at a certain taking the amount of hits that he's had, so he had to decline where he's no longer an elite running back and is barely a viable starter. Mercedes Lewis, he's in or he's out, I don't know. Justin Blackmon, I mean, he's out. Ace Sanders, there's nothing to know about him. It's really limited opportunity for fantasy players in this game, and I'll point a few out. Terrell Pryor, I liked what I saw fantasy wise because the guy tucked the ball down and ran. Darren McFadden's a must start because he's a top running back. But I'd stay away from anybody who catches the ball for Oakland because Terrell Pryor doesn't really throw it.
Yeah, Schreeder was the one who got targeted the most there, but I have serious doubts that that was by design. I got to believe, oh my God, I saw him open, I threw it to him. Happen again, I can't. You can't predict that it'll happen again. It could just as easily have gone to Denarius Moore or somebody else, I think, in that situation.
Well, I'll tell you, and that's going to make it a guy like Jacoby Ford, who I'm very high on. He's a small guy. He's 5'9". It's not like Phil Pryor has great field vision to find a guy like that.
Right.
I'm disappointed to see that because Jacoby Ford is definitely somebody I feel, with a quarterback, could be very productive. But again, you know, just to recap, you know, if you get a lot of extra points for running quarterbacks, you know, Terrell Pryor is a definite start in that case. Because I don't see him throwing a lot of interceptions because he's not going to throw the ball a lot. Darren McFadden's a must start. Other than that, I'm not playing anybody else on the Raiders. As far as Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew as a number two running back or even a flex player, yes. Cecil Shorts because it's going to be Chad Henne, good number two or number three wide receiver. But other than that, we're limited with fantasy players in this game.
Looking from last year when Henne came in, we might see a significant bump on all the receiving guys, right? Looking, even Mercedes Lewis was a guy who had a much better stat line every week when Henne came into the game as opposed to...
Correct.
Him. Yeah, so don't be shocked, everybody, if it bumps up just a little bit for everybody on the receiving end.
Yep.
The Chargers against the Eagles, Phillip Rivers, man, 4 touchdowns, huh?
Self-destruct button. North Turner left it behind.
I guess so. I think Woodhead was even smaller than he was last year.
San Diego just was having their way with Houston. And I could not believe when I heard the news the next morning that they lost the game and how they lost the game. It's the typical San Diego Chargers self-destruct button.
Yeah, I lost only by a couple points because of San Diego's self-destruct button because they were allowing Owen Daniels, of all people, to run up and down the field.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun to watch the Eagles.
That was insane.
That was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, DeSean Jackson was all over the field. McCoy was unbelievable, probably running to be at the top running back in fantasy this year.
Well, I doubted you. Last week you said DeSean Jackson was going to have an amazing game, and I was like, DeSean Jackson, seriously? Yeah. This guy was getting so many throws. He was really the only guy catching the ball.
And he also gets punt returns. So if you get those points too, you're really set. And again, if Vic can stay healthy, which is a big if, I have him as a top 20 quarterback, moving up the charts based on what I saw on Monday. And the other thing, too, is someone else is going to have to catch the ball on that team. start looking at other, you know, Avant or Riley Cooper, or if you don't have Celek, which I'm sure he was drafted, you may want to get him because it's not always going to be McCoy and DeSean Jackson. If you have another option, a Philadelphia player, you may want to get him in your lineup because they're going to throw and they're going to throw. Now, on the other end, San Diego, I mean, Philip Rivers, 4 touchdowns. You're thinking, oh, the Philip Rivers of old is back. Then the Philip Rivers of current times was also back with that ridiculous interception return. But, you know, even with that, you know, Ryan Matthews, so-so game. A lot of the offensive guys, so-so game. I still think Vincent Brown is going to be the guy. Watch for that to pan out. I'm not sold on Malcolm Floyd. Keenan Allen, again, he's a rookie, so who knows. Woodhead, they barely used him. If you got these guys as potential backups on your team to include Rivers, let's see how it pans out. Let's see who comes out to be the number one wide receiver. Let's see what Woodhead really does before you start putting these guys in your lineup based on past performances.
Seattle, San Francisco, this could be a great slug match here, back and forth. Marshawn Lynch, horribly disappointing week for him last week. And Doug Baldwin, actually a pretty nice week. A lot more looks and replacement of Percy Harvin. And then you're looking on the other side of the ball at a guy in Kaepernick who didn't run very much last week. He didn't have to. He was throwing, and that kind of was interesting. And Frank Gore, not so much. He didn't really have a great game until he got a couple looks here and there.
Well, yeah, this is going to be a slugfest. I don't see a lot of fantasy value in this game. I'll start with the 49ers. Kaepernick looked awesome.
Yeah.
Throwing the ball.
Yes.
Which is always the thing you got to worry about with this new offense that everybody, you know, this read option is running too much. He ran when necessary, but a lot of his damage was done throwing the ball. So he really is a dual threat.
Yeah, he's a real deal. Absolutely. He's a guy who, God, I wish I had him on all my teams.
Well, right. I mean, and again, I mean, sometimes, you know, my philosophy hurts me, and I didn't want any part of him. He was available for me to draft because I needed to see more than 7 games. To me, again, I look at the Cordell Stewart factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, league wasn't ready for him, and then nobody could stop him year one. Year two, he was a flop, and he never got any better. But sticking with San Francisco, I think Vernon Davis is a must-start every week. You saw the rapport he had with Kaepernick at the end of last year, well, carried into this year. So I think Vernon Davis is going to be a top 5 tight end this year. He's a must start. Now, Bolden was a surprise to me. I do not see him doing it obviously every game. Otherwise, he'd have 200 catches. Nobody else was even an option for him to throw to other than Vernon Davis. Someone's going to have to step up because they're going to take Bolden out of the game. This is going to be interesting to see how Bolden does against all this trash talking and the defensive backs who like to hit hard with Seattle.
Yes. So
I'm actually really excited to see this game. That being said, now in Seattle, Russell Wilson was a little bit disappointing. He fumbled on a sack one time. He didn't really have a humongous game. No real receiver stood out to me. I know you said Baldwin, but not enough to play on a fantasy roster. And yeah, Marshawn Lynch struggled to start the season, and it's only going to get worse playing San Francisco. Honestly, if you have another option, you may want to sit Marshawn Lynch this game. And same thing with Frank Gore. I would consider sitting Frank Gore if you have another option. It's going to be a slugfest. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Honestly, the only guy I would even recommend is Kaepernick. I would sit everybody. I'd sit Bolden, too. I just don't think he's going to be able – they're going to run it more. I think they're going to have to rely on Kaepernick's legs in this game to move the ball. I just don't see Bolden being able to do it all by himself this week against that great Seattle defensive backs. I just don't see it.
I think it's going to be they're going to be punching each other in the mouth for 60 minutes.
Yeah. Tampa Bay against the Saints. Tampa Bay is in trouble. They lost to the Jets. That's all we have to say there, basically, other than the fact that Josh Freeman is their quarterback, and holy moly, I think he's getting worse every single year.
Okay? Yeah.
And it's not looking good. But then on the other side, Sean Payton is a liar. Once again, the hype on Mark Ingram is just not going to happen. They will not give him the ball. He just doesn't seem to fit that offense at all. It seems to be they need a guy who is quick out of the backfield like a Sproles. And Ingram is a guy who needs to get a lot of carries. And that just doesn't to be effective. You know?
Yeah, he needs to rev his motor a little bit.
Yeah. That's not the Saints offense. They don't do that. They don't get a guy in there who needs to warm up. They need a guy in there that's in there now and can do it. And of course they lean all over on Breeze and he has an amazing game.
I thought for sure that Ingram was going to be traded in the offseason to a team like Pittsburgh or Arizona.
Green Bay,
who needed a running back. That would actually, Green Bay wouldn't really utilize a running back. But,
true.
You know, a team like that, the Giants, teams that want to run the ball, St. Louis. But they kept him for some reason. You're right, he does not fit that offense. But who cares? They have Drew Brees. And he'll throw the ball, and he'll throw the ball. And he'll. Sproles is a must start. Graham, again, I like Lance Moore as a sleeper pick in this game. You know, you got your chalk with Marquise Colston and Jimmy Graham and Sproles and Breeze, obviously.
Yeah, Colston just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
He is the quietest, great wide receiver out there. Nobody talks about him.
Every week
he puts up great numbers.
Well, the reason why nobody really considers him great, they say, oh, well, look who he has, you know, throwing the ball to him and this and that. But you know what? He always draws the top cornerback. And he always seems to be productive. And I always try to get him on my team every year. And I got him again this year because he's the number one wide receiver for the Saints. And he just does it in and out. I mean, he's not going to have a lot of 160-yard A.J. Green-type gains. But he'll get you 90 and a touchdown, 102 touchdowns, 3-4 times a year. He's a must-start. He always should be in your lineup unless he's not playing. On Tampa, again, Doug Martin didn't have a big game against the Jets. I expected him to. He could have a big game against the Saints. I think he's going to have a good bounce-back game because I actually could see, I know this is crazy, but I think it's going to be a letdown game for the Saints. I can see Tampa pulling this one out. I can see them giving him a heavy dose of Doug Martin. I think Vincent Jackson will be open a lot, and I think that they can actually beat the Saints in this game. Fantasy-wise, the only guys worth playing, Martin and Vincent Jackson. I'd stay away from everybody else.
I will say Vincent Jackson impressed me quite a bit because going up there against the New York Jets, we knew he was going to get Antonio Cromartie, and everybody knew that was going to be the situation. He still put up really good numbers. So either Antonio Cromartie's not that good or Vincent Jackson is that good, and I think it's Vincent Jackson being that good.
I'm not a big fan of wide receivers switching teams and being productive. He's been that. He had a great year, fantasy year last year, even with Josh Freeman throwing to him, and he's looked like he's going to sort of parlay that into a second big year. Look at how San Diego's offense has dropped since he's been gone. Again, it's going to be a high-scoring game. I actually think Tampa's going to pull it out.
Out of pride alone, they might be able to pull it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's every game. We went through them all. Last two episodes. So hopefully you guys got a lot of information out of this and are able to use it this week to your advantage.
Yep.
For Chris Bellina, I'm Kyle Almer. You're listening to The Blitz, guys.
Good luck this week.